Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We appreciate you patiently waiting for us to start this morning. And this is June 9th, 2017. And you have tuned into Words from the Word. We are currently studying out of Abide in Christ by Andrew Murray. He has presented in his book 30 days, 30 units, 30 weeks, however you would want to divide them up, 31, for looking at the proposal that Christ extended to those who believe. And we want to thank you for tuning in. We appreciate your faithfulness and your support. We appreciate your presence. Every Friday morning on our Friday fellowship, it is a joy to be able to touch and agree out of the Word of God. And this week we're looking at week, I believe, 13, and it has a wonderful title that brings forth a revelation of this relationship of the vine and the branch. And it says, every moment, and I just adore the scripture. So if one of our fellowship family would read that scripture for day 13 out of various versions of the Bible would be marvelous. It would be marvelous so that we can get different perspectives of Isaiah 27, verse 2 and 3. It is our spiritual, scriptural support for this 13 unit. As the author puts forth a devotional to walk us through becoming a part of the vine. So does anyone have that? Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Overseer. How are you?
Well, praise the Lord. I am wonderful. Welcome back. Praise the Lord. We want to definitely dedicate some time. Maybe we start off some time this morning with you as you have returned from your awesome pilgrimage. What an awesome, awesome time you must have had. We give you the floor this morning, and then we can drill you with all kind of questions. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm just trying to get acclimated because ever since I've been back, I haven't been feeling well. So trying to get back on this time frame. Very tired, very exhausted, but had a wonderful time. The country is just beautiful. I told Apostle, you know, it's like most of my, I guess, started in childhood dreams, you know. The Lord had taken me there before actually going there in different places, which, you know, I experienced the first time and had experienced this time as well in Jerusalem. It's just amazing how he can take you there in your dreams or visions or however you want to call, whatever you want to call them, and you not really know where you were until you have deja vu. And it was very, it was an experience, and especially walking through Hezekiah's tunnel. You know, it has water in Hezekiah's tunnel. And so you enter one in, there's one way in and one way out. There's no turning around.
Wow.
And so when we began to go through, you know, she had told, the tour guide had told us that the water comes up to your knee. And so we began to walk. It was low, and then it came, you know, it was rising up. And it's just, it's actually your elbows can touch each wall. So after we went a certain distance, we began to sing. And so we sang our way through. That was a very exhilarating experience, going through that tunnel. And
can you explain to us what that Hezekiah tunnel, for those that don't know?
I'm going to try. Hezekiah tunnel is one of the tunnels that he was built to bring water and into the city, or into the, city, that area of his. And if I'm not mistaken, that was also one of the ways that the enemy discovered and came through and entered the city and overthrew it. They just accidentally stumbled upon that entrance, and if I'm not mistaken, and that's how they overthrew the city by coming through there. Other than that, I believe they wouldn't have been able to come through it. Another one of the sites were, which was interesting, all of them was interesting, but we had an opportunity to see the tree where they believed the thorns that was placed on Christ's head came from, those thorns. And the trees are beautiful. The that these thorns came from. We were trying to bring you a piece of it, Overseer, but
that part was illegal.
Oh my goodness.
Awesome.
If we could, you know, if there was a way to just bring some of these artifacts back, you know.
Yeah.
Let me think. One of the, I think, highlights was when we were in the upper room. You know, at first we were just expecting to be there just a short period, you know. But the Lord was gracious, and we were there a good while. And we were able to have the take communion, anointing of designee, apostle designee. We sang, and it was just endearing experience. I don't know. I can only speak for myself. I don't know. I hadn't anticipated in my mind what I thought the upper room looked like, but it was very I felt very blessed to be there, because we were amongst other people that spoke different languages, And as we were singing, they began to gather around us. And then Apostle told us to begin to sing in the universal, hallelujah. And, and that, you know, when they, you could see the expressions on their faces, and then some of them were, I believe some of them were singing in their language. It was just a really endearing experience in the upper room because, you know, just the experience that with other groups, other language speaking people, it was very, very, I can't even think of the word, but just being able to walk where Christ walked and to sail on the Sea of Galilee in a wooden boat, which would have been similar to something that he would have been in, was just an awesome experience, you know, and I'm not that thrilled about being on a lot of water, but
okay.
But it was just the beauty, just to look out over the sea and to see how the city. I told the tour guide that it looked like the city is just encircles the sea. That's what it appeared to me, like it encircled the sea, you know, around it, and how the different levels of homes just go from one level to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And it's just beautiful. It's just, you really, I would recommend, you know, if an individual could take that trip to just experience, to have that experience to visit the different places where Christ was and to walk on the land where he was. It just gives you, I can't describe the feeling, but to know that that's where he was, and that's where things he went through there, and to some of the different places that he was in, and the I'm trying to think when we went through the marketplace. Just imagining him having to go through there with all of the everyday commotion going on, and then him having to come through the crowd and just everything was just amazing, you know. And it's not level ground either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not level. So he would have, if you can imagine, having to go up some stairs and then walk on unlevel ground and then up more stairs and walk, carrying or trying to carry a cross. It's just... It's just amazing. That country is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It really is. We experienced so much, I can't even think of everything. All of the different places that we went, the I can't remember all the names, you know.
Uh-huh.
But one place we did go, I remember having the dream, and I had told Apostle about it because I saw Apostle. I saw Prophet. I saw Bishop. And the only, and at the time when I described it to her, it looked like, I would have described it as like a witchcraft, maybe a witch doctor, witchcraft. You know, if you've seen these places where witch doctors are with these different things hanging at the entrance of the door and stuff. Well, when we entered this, I'm trying to think of the name of the place. I can't think of the name of the place, and I don't have my notebook in front of me. When we entered it, and then I was looking, Holy Spirit said, turn around, look. And when I turned around, it was like my dream just flashed back before me. This was the place that I had dreamt and saw Apostle them come through the entrance. And it had all these different objects hanging on the trees, hanging on the fence, hanging around. And I said, oh, my God. I've got to get the name of the place so I can tell you what that place was.
Okay.
But we,
okay.
It's just an experience, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. Are there any questions anyone would like to ask?
I'm just excited to welcome back, first of all, Elder Roberta. But wow. When you was mentioning about the place where the water was, Hezekiah, the water, you said something about where your elbows, and I didn't hear that portion of it.
Oh, well, when you were walking through the tunnel, the space that we were walking, you know, the wall on either side of us, where your elbows to touch either side of the wall. That's how narrow the space was.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And
wow.
We had flashlights. We had flashlights. So you could only see with the flashlights.
Oh, okay.
The
wow.
Pictures are incredible.
We entered one end and we came out. When we came out the other end, it was in the pool of Siloam.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yes, I viewed a lot of your pictures.
How long was the tunnel? How long?
Oh my goodness! A good 40 minutes.
Oh wow!
Wow.
and it was the water was up to your knees.
Yes.
Wow.
And we had to go through little doorways, and you had to stoop. You know, I'm short. So if I had to stoop down to get through the passage where you know someone taller, like Apostle Overton, you know, you could imagine them having to stoop down to get through the doorway.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. I mean the pictures you look like you like being buried. I don't know. And amazing, for me, it's like they didn't have, you know, backhoes and mechanical devices to dig that hole. And that tunnel
right.
Is not a hole, it's a tunnel.
Right, it's that tunnel. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wow.
Yes. how that could be built. And they didn't have all of this equipment that we have now.
Right. And how much grace had to be upon the life of Hezekiah, you know, that it didn't cave in while they were trying to dig it. And, I mean, because it did seem so massive in its length, but not its width, you know. And so to burrow through the earth like that to bring water to the city.
That's just amazing.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of part in the 23rd Psalm when we read how the shepherds would dig caves to get to the fresh water. And so I kind of, kind of associated it, not quite that massive, but on that scale, that's what the shepherds had to do in order to get the fresh water to the sheep, is to build water tunnels like that, or water caves like that. And then to get the water and get it back to the sheep or bring the sheep in. And so it just was amazing, just the sights and the people. And it just seemed so clear and clean. You know, the pictures just seemed clean. I don't know. Any more questions?
Yeah.
Inside. Amen.
I was trying to, let's see. I can't find it. I was looking for that area. And then at the Pool of Bethesda, where the old wall of Jerusalem, it has 8 gates. Tim gave scripture for the day.
Mm-hmm.
He gave the scripture. Did you see that when he gave the scripture?
No, I didn't.
Tim gave
the scripture.
But
some of the things may not have been added until after you guys got back, uploaded, or however. I have to go back through and look, and it's so much footage. It takes days.
Yes. And the way the land is, you know, I was saying, you know, when you look at that land, I was telling somebody, I said, these people over here, I didn't see anybody that was heavy. It's impossible for them to be heavy, because by the time they get through doing all they walking uphill, downhill, climbing all them different stairs, and by the time they get through walking, because they give you 3 meals a day, right? So by the time you get through walking, you don't walk that food away. I can only imagine them, you know, having, because just going through that marketplace is tiresome to me. You know, just going up the stairs, down, up, climb, down, you know, and even around near the hotels, you still was walking uphill, downhill, you know, up a few steps, down a few steps. It's like nothing's really just straight and level for a long distance, you know. And even when we were driving on the road, riding on the road in the tour bus, you would be up 1 minute and then you would be below sea level the next, you know, and you drive below sea level for a while, then you come back up. So it was I don't know how they were able to, like you say, build a lot of things with, you know, whatever technology they used then. That was a lot of work.
Absolutely. That's a lot of work. And I think
Yes.
And as you were speaking, one of the things Pastor shared was that for her, the insight on foot washing is totally different now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we do it ceremoniously, I understand, but you really understand why, you know, after having been there. And even the fact that throughout Scripture you hear, you know, different ones indicating the Lord will put your feet on solid ground, or he'll make your crooked path straight, and, you know, he'll, you know, steady you on tying feet. Just all of the references to the fact that where they were and how they were walking and their route was very vulnerable, if you will, because of the rocks and the stones and the unlevel areas and just the terrain that they lived on would cause them to, and I know they said a couple people fail, you know, but it would cause you to not, you know, to fall. He keeps you from falling. And so it's literally and spiritually, they would have an understanding better than we of what Christ was sharing because he was using it and speaking to them based on what their experiences were on a daily basis. And so that the way the land was and the way the terrain was for them, that had a even deeper meaning physically as well as spiritually than we could ever conceive of without having have gone there, you know, and the steps, a step and walk, 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 another step, walk, 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 you know, how easy it is to stumble and to fall, you know, so, yes.
Right.
So we thank you for sharing, and we'll, you know, periodically, you know, on our Friday culture, because I know there's so much, you know, and as we view the pictures and things, and as you guys get your land leg back, I know that this household has been in a period of adjustment, for time difference. And so we do, and we pray you guys strength. We know that different ones are experiencing challenges, and we know that God is a God that's a healer. He knows he will renew your strength. And oftentimes when we have great spiritual encounters and experiences, it really does have an effect on our physical body. But I think that's just part of us becoming more spirit-minded, and so that our bodies do obviously respond to that. So we do pray your strength because we know that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and he will strengthen your body and your spirit, and you will get some rest. So we thank you for being on the line with us this morning at an early hour. It's like probably the evening time in Jerusalem. But we will go back. If there are no more questions, comments, insights, sharing, anybody wants to do, we'll go back to our Isaiah 27:2-3 scripture and get into our lesson for today. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Elder. So you can do our
thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, I was going to read the scripture from the internet. I mean, from the Amplified, you said 27,
Amen.
Isaiah 27:2-3.
Yes.
Hold on. Isaiah 27:2-3. Okay. In that day, it will be said of the redeemed nation of Israel. Okay. A vineyard, beloved and lovely. Sing a responsive song to it and about it. Verse 3. I, the Lord, am its keeper. I water it every moment, lest anyone harm it. I guard and keep it night and day.
Amen. Does anybody else have another version?
I had the Message Bible. And the Message Bible says, at the same time, a fine vineyard will appear. There's something to sing about. I, God, tend it. I keep it well watered. I keep carefully watch over it so that no one can damage it. That's my
question. Amen. Anybody else have another version? Okay, I want to read the one that's in the book. It says, in that day, sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. And so we are given here, yes, Elder, you're saying?
No, go ahead.
It was somebody I have living.
I was just saying, was going to mention the NIV had the word fruitful in it and God in it. And it says, sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I watch it continually. I guard it day and night so that no one may harm it. But that was the NIV when it said fruitful.
Amen.
And the Living Bible has, the Living Bible says, in that day of Israel's freedom, let this anthem be their song. Israel is my vineyard. I, the Lord, will tend the fruitful vines. Every day I'll water them, and day and night I'll watch to keep all enemies away.
Amen.
That was living.
Amen. Amen. All right. Studying or reading this, when we see this, is the version really put different perspectives to this scripture. And I'm not sure which version the author uses. I think he says he uses, usually they tell you what version their scriptures are, a revised version, taken from the revised version. That's probably the King James, New King James revised version, King James, which is always my favorite to read. And yet I love the others as we study from it, the perspectives that they do bring to our study. And so he says here, in that day, and that's what caught my attention, in that day sing ye unto her. And in that day, I believe, is speaking of, and one of the versions says it, of when freedom comes. Freedom comes when Christ came. So it's like prophetic of the coming of Christ and what he's going to do and what he's going to establish and what it is going to look like for, originally speaking to the children of Israel, but to all that will receive that freedom, which includes us being engrafted into that, you know, a vineyard of red wine. I just love that because the wine is what comes from the fruit. And the fact that it is red, I'm sure, has an intended message. The fact that the vineyard of red wine, and I was going to look up what the characteristics of red wine was just on the natural, but honestly, I did not. But I do want to. And if anybody else has done it, please jump right in there. And so every moment, that's what the author is focusing on, every moment. But before the every moment, I think we need to understand, what leads up to the commitment of God for every moment. And it says, in that day, sing ye unto her. In other words, let this be your song, a song of praise, a song of worship. Often in Scripture, when the Lord brought a great deliverance or a great message from heaven, the intended recipient or people would sing a song of praise, a song of worship. So it's very apparent that our Lord loves singing. The entire psalms were done, I believe, with musical accompaniment. And I noticed that even when they were in Israel, I believe it was in Israel, I think it was Turkey, but at a certain time, well, not a certain time, but you could hear, like over a mic, a type of Hebraic singing. And I don't know if it's because it was 12 noon. I don't know why. And I didn't hear anybody explain, but it seemed like it prevailed over the entire city with this sound. And they were singing in Hebrew, so I don't know exactly what they said.
Minister Paulette, that was at a certain time of the day, not only in Turkey, but in Jerusalem too. I think it was the Muslims, they would begin to pray. So you could hear it. It sounded like music over the city when they would begin to pray. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I heard that too.
Right, and that's what I thought, but I wasn't sure. But I was remembering about the Hebrew boys and even Daniel, who at a certain time turned his face towards Jerusalem and would pray, regardless of what those around him were demanding, that they only worship, you know, the kings and whatever. But the fact that at a certain time, and so to actually hear that for me, you know, was another thing to help make the scripture come alive, as well as making me just kind of understand, you know, he said that we were to greet each other with psalms and hymns, and you know, that's how that ministry of one another should be in the scripture that says that. And it's like, because that's what they would be doing, you know, at that certain time, they would be worshiping. And so what he's saying here is, in that day, sing. You know, sing, I mean, because this is an eternal victory that has come to us, an eternal proposal that's presented to us, an eternal covenant that is being made with those who will accept this freedom in that day. So it's like, no matter what's come before, in that day we will sing. And so I think we're living in that day, and so singing should be always a part of who we are and what we do and what we say. A singing and not a complaining, a singing and not a murmuring, a singing and not a grumbling, but a singing. And so it like sets the tone of our life. I think the author, he made mention to, he always uses a certain combination of words on page 106 when he says, oh, it is possible. We can be sure of it. Our abiding in Jesus is even more than a fellowship of love. It is a fellowship of life. And so that's what our living should look like, in work or in rest. The consciousness of life never leaves us. The consciousness of in that day, the consciousness of our life that's abiding in the vine, the consciousness of our life that has been covenant with God, and promise that he will keep our position, our situation, our place in him. And that, you know, he says he will water it. And it's like Hezekiah did all of that work to bring water to the city, to bring water to the city. And God is saying, I will water it. And so just as a daunting job as that would appear to be for even the ancients in Israel under King Hezekiah, but God is saying under Christ, our king, he's going to deliver the water. He's the conduit. It's through him that this water is going to come every moment, not a moment of drought or dryness or need for that living substance, that living element that is needed so that our abiding is developing strength in our personal fellowship, and it is a fellowship of life. And even as this water, if you think of the actual process, the natural process of engrafting a one branch into a vine, if the moisture element is not maintained, that the one will dry up. The branch will dry up. And so that moisture has to be maintained. And God is promising him, us, every moment I will water you. There won't be, not every minute, and it says every moment, and I kept thinking moment by moment, every moment, he is providing that which is needed for us to abide in the branch. And then it says, lest any hurt it, and I will keep it day and night. And any hurt it, I think of the wind can blow, and this is just on the natural, level. A bird stands on the branch. Can you imagine what would happen to a branch that's being engrafted, and something heavy as a bird comes and lights upon it? It has the ability to shake it out of its place. But he's saying he is moment by moment there, tending to us so that that sort of thing doesn't happen. And if we think of the birds as just the ways and the wiles of the world, the words of the world that weigh us down, those things, those cares that weigh us down, as he described the soil and the different things that came against the soil to snuff out the words and seeds that had been planted there. But by the same token, those things in each of these analogies are all communicating the exact same point. It's just she's using different analogies, different parables to bring that one message home to us, however we need to get it. You know, there are different kinds of learners. Some people learn audibly. You know, some people are visual learners. There's all kinds of learners. Some are they learn independently of things. And no matter what type of learner we are, he made sure he shared the elements of his covenant with us in a way that we could get it. That we could get it because we associate it with something that's natural that we're familiar with. And then Holy Spirit shows us how it parallels with that which is spiritual. So any questions, comments, what did you glean from this 13th unit day, week of our abiding in Christ? There's always so much in each one of these scriptures, each one of these units and days. Would you like to share what you received?
Well, Minister Parler, I left my book at home. I forgot to pack it. so I wasn't even sure where we were.
That's certainly understandable.
Just thinking about the vineyards, the wine vineyard, thinking about that, it brought to mind where we were able to partake of communion wine. They have communion wine, they let us sample it. And that was, a highlight of the day as well, because I didn't know that they had the different wines, but they actually have communion wine. And, I wish I could have brought some back, but we did not. I'm not sure if Apostle got some or not, but they did have it. And the vineyards of, everywhere when we were riding down the roads, there were just trees. And another highlight was looking on the mountaintop. And you know it was hot, right? It was snow. Snow.
Wow, yeah.
Way up on the mountaintop. Snow. I couldn't believe it. As hot as it was.
Wow.
But way up high, covered with snow.
Awesome.
Yes. That.
Awesome.
So the vineyards of the olive trees and the fruits, having to be covered so the sun wouldn't burn them. They were covered with like a tent inside, so the sun wouldn't damage them.
Amazing.
And just thinking of that and the word saying that he would keep the vineyard.
Exactly.
And wine.
Yes.
He would water it. And the version of the Bible that I read spoke of Israel being the vineyard. When we think of ourselves being the vineyard, and him keeping us and watering every moment, lest we be hurt by whatever, him keeping us night and day. It stands out, that we should always have a song in our heart. Keep a song in our heart, because he is gracious unto us. Like the tour guide was saying that, things are going on over there, but they hear of things going on over here too. So, which is worse, walking on the streets of Chicago or walking on the land where Jesus was,
Right. Amen.
Either one of them, God is yet keeping us, and we got to be kept by him, whichever land or soil we walk on.
Very good.
And
one of the things while you were speaking, because I know I shared about the singing, and what the author says is that the song of the vineyard is also the song of the vine and every branch. It says the command goes forth to the watchers of the vineyard. If only they obeyed it and sang until every feeble-hearted believer had learned and joined the joyful strain. So we see here the purpose of singing. It is the singing also in, it helps to develop those that have feeble hearts, weak hearts. They're not in the same place we are. They're believers, but they're new, they're fresh, or they're stumbling. And a song, it says, just keep singing that song until that everybody, you know, learns and joins in the joyful strain. So, you know, if you have a song and you continue to sing it, sing it, sing it, whoever you're around, pretty soon they'll sing it too. Or, you know, you say, oh, that song got stuck in my head. And, you know, you find yourself waking up and the song is on your mind. And so part of our singing, if we're singing this song of praise and worship and adoration unto God, if we're singing about the service of the covenant in our life instead of mumbling and complaining or just talking vain and empty words. But if we're singing the powerful testimony the powerful testimony of our deliverance, the powerful testimony of our freedom, if we're singing of that, it says then others, they'll learn the song and they'll join in as well. And so we have to look beyond some of the words that we have a natural understanding of when we read Scripture, and when we read that in the ministry of one another. I wish somebody could find that verse too, but when the author, I think that was Calhoun, shared that one of the Scriptures, you know, and we question it. You say, okay, so should we walk up to other people and then break out in a song, like in the Sound of Music? But people know that the word to the sound of music, because it became something that was said, a song over and over and over and over, until even our own spirits joined in basically with the song, not our spiritual part, but just natural, our mind caught it, learned it, and sometimes, you know, joined in. It was at a funny little beat, some of them. And so we have underestimated a lot of things because we've only read them shallowly. And I think we're getting to, this is deep, call us unto deep. This is, you know, looking beyond S-A-N-G, sang, or sing, or S-I-N-G, sing, and looking at what does that mean, you know, going into the meaning spiritually. That's what that meditating and waiting on God to give revelation about a simple word. We look for the great, grand, you know, revelations and prophetic words when they're in, and he told one of the prophets, it's not in the whirlwind, you know, it's in the still, small voice. So it's in those small words, soft, small things that are the things that strengthen us and then causes our heart, as they said here, until feeble-hearted believers have joined, learned, and that's what strengthens them. And so it says, so the author says, obviously people read that and go, you know, that's not possible, you know, for me to live like that. And the question is it possible for the believer to abide always in Jesus? Is a life of unbroken fellowship with the Son of God indeed obtainable here on this earthly land? Truly not, if abiding is our work, but to be done in our strength. But the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. If the Lord himself will keep the soul night and day, yes, and will watch and water it every moment, then surely the uninterrupted communion with Jesus becomes a blessed possibility to those God to mean and to do what he has said. Do we believe? And that's the question. And do we believe? And then what is it we believe? You know, and so learning these things and then embracing the teaching of Holy Spirit to the point where we obey, and then we enjoy because we believe. And because we believe, we will sing, because it is a song of great power and a song of great purpose for the believers. It says, then suddenly abiding of the branch of the vine, day and night, summer and winter. So that's doing your good times, your bad times, hard times, poor times, rich times. It is a never-ceasing life fellowship. It is nothing less than the simple but certain promise of your abiding in your Lord. And again, for me, that takes me back to page 59. No, that's 57. Page 57, when it says, and it's wonderful, there's a song that they shared with the pilgrimage group. It says, let your answer be amen, so be it. And there's the song, amen, and so it is. And it says, because from eternity, Christ and I were ordained for each other. Inseparably, we belong to each other because it is God's will. It is God's will. It is the husbandman of the vineyard. It is the one who has promised that they will water us. He will water us every moment. He will keep us day and night. Insight? In that.
Well, I was just thinking that, you know, it was talking about keeping our mind on him. Is it possible? I think, you know, if we acknowledge him in what we're doing, even in what we're doing, he can be present. Even though you may be working, like when I was working, I would always acknowledge him in my work because I may have been doing the work for the company, but I always told myself I would do the work to the glory of God in order, you know, that he may carry me through the day, because without his assistance, I would not be able to perform,
mm-hmm.
as well when I didn't mm-hmm. acknowledge him. You know, it took him to help me through the day's work, because, you know, you would have so much on you in order for you to be productive.
Mm-hmm.
I just always felt that, you know, acknowledge him in what I'm doing, and then I wouldn't feel so bogged down or feel so pressured and stuff like that. And I was thinking about the singing when you were talking about the singing. Well, when there were another group ahead of us in the tunnel. And so consequently, when we began to sing, they heard us singing. So when we all came out at the end, they were thanking us for singing. Because the group in front of us heard us, and then the people behind us began to hear us. And so they were thanking us for singing.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
Because if you can imagine walking in darkness with just flashlight to guide you, because your mind, if you allow it, it could take you there. You know, like, what might be in the water, you know? What might come out these walls? Or
Yes.
You know. But I think if we acknowledge him, and they were talking about, I think it mentioned monks in here, and then they showed us there was an area where the baths, they were talking
mm-hmm.
about a certain set of monks went into the desert-like area to live, and they washed several times a day, it had to do with the mind, and then there were those that wasn't as
clean, if I, for lack of another word. You know, you have to enter mm-hmm. one side and then the other, enter the other side. So I think in trying to obtain that level of in keeping your mind from not getting distracted with the cares of the world or the cares of life, trying to obtain that degree of, I'll just say livelihood for lack of another word, could be very challenging. Because they, you know, they bathed several times a day. They ate together. Everything was just, what's the word? Rigid? Could I use that word? Because when you come together to eat, you know, of course, you're not going to be talking.
Right.
What is it? What's the word I'm looking for? Keeping your mind on him. So you don't have time
mm-hmm.
to
okay. be. A focus.
Okay. But here in this book it says abiding in Jesus is not a work that needs the man to be engaged each moment or the affections to be directly and actively occupied with it. It is an entrusting of oneself to the keeping of eternal love in the faith that it will abide near us and with its holy presence watch over us and ward off the evil, even when we have to be most intently occupied with other things. And so the heart has rest and peace and joy and the consciousness of being kept when it cannot keep itself.
Mm-hmm.
So in knowing that, I think sometimes we may get or we can get a little stressed out if we don't acknowledge that, you know, it's not us, it's not our doing, keeping our minds, it's Christ is doing. We have to allow him to be the keeper because we can't keep it ourselves.
Right.
And then, being surrounded by so many things, everyday activities and what have you, and taking in your surroundings, your mind is going to be, what's the word, you know, your ear, your hearing, so you're going to be, there are going to be distractions. There's going to be things that are going to try to draw you in. But with Christ, he can help you to not be or help you to not succumb to the distraction
or lose your focus. Right. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And retain these distractions within your self. Because you're gonna always encounter things that's not Christ or that's not of him. So it does take some discipline, but it also takes us knowing that it's not us. We are ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But it's him
right.
that will keep us.
Mm-hmm.
And carry us through these things. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that's what the author, he put, as you said, when we work, when we do those things that are just assigned to us to do because we're human, you know, not necessarily our spiritual ministry, but just the natural things that we're called upon to do, to go to the grocery store, whatever it is, you know, our daily work. And yet he's saying even during those times, as you shared, when you're working and you got to fulfill, you know, the task that your boss has. And so he does, he addresses that in such a way where we learn to understand and we grow spiritually because everything really is spiritual. And no matter, even when we're doing a physical thing, we can do it with our focus on the spiritual elements that should be within us as we work out, you know, those tasks, those human things that we're assigned to do. And so it is a revelation of this fellowship of life as opposed to a fellowship of love, but it is a fellowship of life. And so that is like, you know, there's the honeymoon, you know, that's where, you know, the couple, they're just so in love and they're flowing like, you know, water. And then there becomes that life, once you start living your daily life, there are distractions, there are different things that come that would overwhelm that love, but we are to allow him, as you were saying, to be the one that teaches us how to handle those things. So what it ends up doing is then you're able to have a fellowship of life with your partner, with your husband or your wife, not your partner, your husband or your wife. And so even in then one another. And so we do, we are learning to abide in Christ and dispelling or demystifying, that's a word they use all the time on TV, demystifying those words or those phrases that actually we've said, we've heard, and we've actually been taught. You know, everything isn't spiritual, or God really don't expect you to do that, or that's really impossible, I'm not Jesus, you know, and all of those things, you know, he's busting that myth up with his word and his commitment to us. And it's like, yeah, it's impossible for you to do that, but it's not impossible for him. And so then it becomes, what do we really believe? Do we believe? What do we believe? And we could say, you know, I believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. You know, do we really? Do we really believe in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and everything he said, and we believe it to be true, and we base our very breath on it, you know, or do we, you know, we hear it, it's great, we trust a little bit that it'll work for me so that I don't have to go to hell, but as far as, you know, our life fellowship, are we really ready to know him in the fellowship of his suffering, because that's what life, the life of Christ, looked like for the good of the world. So our living is to be done for the good of the world, because the whole point of abiding in the vine is so that we can produce fruit. That's the whole point, is so that the branch can produce the fruit. And the fruit is that which is what the world is in need of. So, questions, comments, insights, revelation for this 13th unit?
Good morning, Elder Deborah.
Good morning, Elder Deborah.
Murray has such long sentences in his book, but there is one here where he says, only believe, period. He who has put the blessing within your reach will assuredly lead to its possession. And to me, that sums up everything that you've been saying, that we only need to believe and then let our actions follow, you know, that be led by what we say we believe, you know, have our faith to be not only hearers but doers of the word. And I know that in some of the teaching that I've said under the word talks about that passage where it talks about, you know, to be not only hearers but doers, that in the Hebrew it was only one word, that when you heard it, that meant you did it, because you didn't have the capacity, or I won't say you didn't have the capacity, but just to hear it and, like, ignore it would be such a disrespectful, almost blasphemous. Like, if you heard and you know that thus commanded the Lord, then you would need to do it. Otherwise, you really didn't hear it, you know, or you would have done it. And so to me, it just seems like those two sentences kind of capsulize the study for today. And thank you, Elder Roberta, for sharing that. That was insightful. Some of your experiences in the Holy Land. Thank you.
Amen. And I do want to add to what Elder Roberta was sharing about the caves. And one of the things that Apostle shared was in the cave. And I don't know if it was the cave of Hezekiah, because you guys were in a lot of caves. But that on the ceiling of the cave were these long black bug things that Apostle, you know, kind of.
Oh, yeah, that was another cave we went through. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, and so it was her sharing was really very hilarious, even though I know if I was there, it wouldn't have been funny at all. But we all know that Apostle has twists in her hair. And twists, they're not braids, but, you know, little twisty things. And it's, you know, piled up on her hair. And so she was saying she kept watching these black, they were long, longer than she'd ever seen, with all these little things that were black. And they kind of scoot, and they stretched out, and then they got smaller, they scoot, and they stretched out.
Yeah.
And then they just dropped. So she was saying, how would she, and in order to get through that, and that's what Elder Roberta was saying. In order to get through it, she had to just totally focus on God. Otherwise, she would freak out, took them braids out of her hair, them twists out of her hair, you know, like a wild woman. Because it's just your physical perspective would just be overwhelming. And that's what you would focus on. But how, and that's what she shared, to share the fact that she realized how powerful our focus is on God, because it caused her to have a peace in a cave. And she called it a walking MRI. And anybody that knows Apostle, in order to take an MRI, they have to sedate her. They have to give her so much Valium that she don't even know she's in there. Because it's just not something that she is able to experience. And so I thought it was wonderful, you know, when she shared how she was able to overcome that and to go through with these huge black things on the ceiling that would just fall down. And I could see her want to stomp and kill them and get them off the roof, and, you know, but she didn't, you know.
Yeah,
and
that
only
case.
Because,
that cave was so much different than Hezekiah's. And the difference was that, you know, you had to go down these winding stairs. And these things were not just up in the ceiling. I try not to look up there. They were, you could look down. They were squiggly, you know, right there where you were walking on the wall. You don't even want to look on the wall for fear you might put your hand on, you know, going down those stairs. And that's one tunnel that I was praying, Lord, you know, let us hurry up and get out of this one. Because I didn't like it at all. I did not like it at all. Oh, my goodness. It was, and it, you know, it was just deep going down, you know, those stairs is down, 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 up, up, up.
Mm-hmm. And now that one, you know, I hadn't even thought about that one anymore. But it was an experience. I'm not sure which tunnel that was either. Because my notes and trying to take notes and walk was a little difficult.
Yeah, I'm sure. That was the kind of thing they needed to
mm-hmm.
record your thoughts.
Yeah.
It had to be so much. And you don't want to miss it, you know, trying to mm-hmm. record. You know, it's a phenomenal, a life, a once-in-a-life type of experience for
mm-hmm.
me. Yeah, but for me. And so just I love hearing all of the stories and the different places, you know, the different perspectives that people have. And it is so funny because they really are very different. And I'm reminded, actually, and I know we kind of going over, but I was reminded of the Synoptic Gospels in that class and how the paperwork was saying how different they each did the exact same thing. They all experienced, walked through it, but some mentioned certain things, others didn't mention, and it all had to do with their personality, their perspective, and who they were writing for. And so that's how I viewed, like, all of these insights and information, you know, sitting and listening to people's experience and just how awesome it is. Y'all should just all get together and write a book or something. I don't know. You know,
mm-hmm.
or your memoirs, or I don't know, the 100 things from the pilgrimage to, you know, the Holy Land, the Bible Land, I think they call it, pilgrimage to the Bible Land. And so it's just amazing. Thank you really for sharing, you know. And as we go,
yes.
and as we study,
yes.
you know, we pray that you continue to interject, you know, some of the physical things that you saw and that you experienced into our studying, you know, to enlighten us, because that's what
yeah.
it's for. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yes.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to say, I think her for sharing, because it feels like even though we weren't there, that we saw and we experienced some of the journey with you all. And we knew how to pray,
right.
but it was just phenomenal. Thanks for sharing.
Oh, you're welcome.
Amen. 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 All right. So if there be nothing else, we will throw that on the floor. Oh, sorry. We will go and continue to sing. Because in that day we received our freedom. And in this day we have received revelation and understanding from the Word as to how to abide in Christ and to bring forth fruit. And so we thank you for sharing on the Friday Fellowship of Learners and pray we will live out this fellowship of light so that the world might know what an awesome God we serve. He is
yes.
worthy of our praise and worship.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Do enjoy your worship.
Yes.
And we'll enjoy the ministry,
Amen.
Obey the ministry, and know the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen.
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 All right.
God bless.
All right. I'll see you guys.